Lord thanks. Just start clapping for him. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for this wonderful play that we're able to do. Not many churches can put on a play like this, but thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've given me. We invite you into this place right now, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, that we may receive your word. Thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, this morning started off kind of interesting for me. I was doing the Bible study I wanted to do this morning, and then my computer technology is a wonderful thing. It decided to die. And it died pretty good. I can't get it back working. So the message that I have today is actually about pastors, about your pastor. Aren't you wonderful that we have probably the most wonderful pastor ever to walk this earth? I kid you not. I've seen a bunch of pastors, and he is by far the best one I have ever seen. And it's not because I just say that. It's because if you look at the scriptures and you test the scriptures with the action of the man, he holds up to the scripture. He obeys the scripture. He walks in the word of God. And that is something that's hard to come by. He doesn't just sugarcoat or candy coat anything. He tells us the word of God because he cares for our souls. And that's very hard to find today. Very hard to find. And I'm going to be opening up with Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then, verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, and but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The word here that I want to focus on is actually in verse 36, as having no shepherd. Shepherd. The word shepherd here, it's something that Jesus uses quite often. You may be seated. It is something that Jesus uses quite often. Matter of fact, it's probably one of his favorite metaphors when it comes to spiritual leadership. One that he often describes himself with, for that he is the great shepherd, a person who tends God's flock. A shepherd leads, feeds, nurtures, comforts, corrects, and protects, responsibilities that belong solely to the church leadership. In fact, the word pastor translated means shepherd. He is our shepherd. Now, see, the shepherd's first thing to do, he is our rescuer, because he is the one that goes out and needs to start rescuing people with what? With the message of the gospel. So he first becomes our rescuer. A sheep can be totally lost because we are metaphorical sheeps, and we can be totally lost. And how many of us have ever been lost? Oh, man. I didn't get saved till I was 20, and I can tell you right now, I was pretty lost. But we are metaphorical sheep. A sheep can be totally lost within a few miles of its home, with no sense of direction, no instinct of finding God, or finding the fold of the rest of the sheep. A lost sheep usually will walk around in the state of confusion, unrest, and even panic. And without God, our lives are in panic. We are always in unrest. Without the fold, without the church people, this is how we are as people. When we don't have what we want, we walk in panic. We don't walk in peace. We don't walk in joy. And it is the job of the shepherd to what? To bring it home. And in Matthew 9:36, it says, and so when Jesus saw the crowds lost, spiritually disoriented and confused, he likened them to the sheep without a shepherd. This is how we were before we were in church. The prophet Isaiah describes lost people as those who, like sheep, have gone astray, each one turning to his own way. And that's when we start getting in trouble as sheep, when we turn our own way. And a lot of times we have to come back and say, God, help me, and because I did this to myself. And it's just true about the human nature that we dig ourselves into a pit and then we look for rescuing. It is the job of who? Of the shepherd to round you up. And it's your job to make the conscious decision to change your ways and to listen to the shepherd and to be under submission. In Isaiah 53, 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every way to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him his iniquity on all of us." Like lost sheep, lost people need a rescuer, a shepherd to lead them to safety of the fold. A pastor does that by pointing the lost towards Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. John 10, 11, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus speaking. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Sheep, or shepherds, are also, the next thing that they do once they rescue you, the next purpose of a pastor is what? Is to feed you, to nurture you, to bring you up, to show you how to become Christ-like. Because sheep, In the real world, sheep are like this. They spend most of their lives eating and drinking. You can say that about us, too, eating. I spend most of my life eating. It's wonderful. But they are indiscriminate about their diet. Yeah, I don't care what I eat. Like, it's most of us. I mean, I eat junk food all the time. They don't know the difference between poisonous and non-poisonous plants, literal sheep. Therefore, the shepherd must carefully guard their diet and provide them with rich nutrients, an opportunity to grow stronger and to grow healthy, because we can't do it on our own. And when we look back on our own, we weren't growing healthy, were we? We weren't growing in the way that God wanted us to grow. We weren't growing fruitful. These things weren't happening by ourselves. So we needed someone to come and help culture us and to teach us how to eat and what to eat and what's poisonous and what's not poisonous, what's nutritious and what's not nutritious. We had to have somebody in our life to say, this is wrong and this is right. And to give you an example, when cigarettes first came out, how many here smoked cigarettes before? I dabbled in them a little bit. When it first came out, there was a church movement, and the organization that we are a part of, the UPC, the first thing they said was, don't do it. You know, we have like a bad feeling about cigarettes. And we have to remember, this is before anybody knew cigarettes were bad for you. But the UPC took a stand and said, no cigarettes. Don't do it. And the pastors discerned about it, and they must have been led by the Holy Spirit, because what do cigarettes do today that we know of? They cause cancer. They have taken more lives than wars. I'm a paramedic, and when I see people who have lung cancer, jaw cancer, tongue cancer, throat cancer because of cigarettes, and yet, when they first came out, an organization said no cigarettes before there was anything. So shepherds, they are being led by the Spirit. They are messengers of God. We have to put our trust in them, in an umbrella, and be under their umbrella in submission. And in John 21:15, so when they are speaking of feeding sheep or leaders feeding sheep, Jesus saith to Simon, Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? He saith unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He's telling Peter to feed his sheep. He goes on more, and he says again, do you love me? And Peter goes on and he says, you know that I love you. And he said, what? Feed my sheep again. And then verse 17, he goes on and he says it again. He's like, you knowest thou that I love you, because he asked him again, and he's kind of like wondering, well, what are you doing to me? I mean, you've asked me this twice. This is the third time. You know that I love you. You know all things, Lord, that I love you. And look what he has to say. He says, feed my sheep. The focus there was feeding. Feed my sheep. What is it that we need to be fed? Because this is the focus of Jesus and Peter, who preached the very first sermon. What is it that we need to be fed? What is it that needs to raise us up, that to grow us healthy, to grow us strong? Well, it's sound doctrine, number one. The first thing, the sound doctrine of the gospel, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. the death, burial, resurrection of his life. And then once you believe that, then we preach what? The death, burial, resurrection of your own life. The belief. Receiving his spirit. Acts 2:38. This is what we believe. It's sound doctrine. Feed my sheep. And then after sound doctrine, after we come under the blood and after we start walking in the steps of Christianity, we have to do what? Look at the leadership as an example. Or else how do I know how to be a Christian, to be completely honest? I don't know how to. I have to be raised up in which way I should go. I'm still a child in Christ. And Jesus drove home to Peter the importance of feeding sheep. Twice in his command to Peter, he uses the Greek term bousko, which means I will feed them. The pastor's goal is not to please the sheep, but to feed them, not to tickle their ears, but to nourish their souls. There's a difference. Pastors that tickle your ears with good, pretty little stories, and I've seen it. I go to a lot of churches around here, and I hear what pastors have to say, and it's turned to story time. And it's not real, and a lot of it makes you laugh, and that's good. It's good to have humor in church. I love humor. I love being funny. But it's not there to tickle your ears. It's there to nourish your souls. You have to have a pastor that will stand up for what is right and preach to your soul, because Jesus never spoke to an individual, a person. He spoke to their flesh. He always spoke with the sword. It cut right through the flesh into the heart of the matter. It's like, I have money problems. Stop spending it on stuff that doesn't need to be spent on. Live within your means. These are all biblical principles. I'm in this situation. Well, why? All of a sudden we find out you're in a situation because of your choices. Well, we need to talk to the matter at hand. This is something that our pastor does for us. He nourishes our soul. He is not to offer merely light snacks of spiritual milk, but a substantial meat of biblical truth. We need to have biblical truth in our lives if we are going to make it. Those who fall to the need of the flock are unfit as shepherds. Or the ones that fail to feed the flock are unfit as shepherds. And this is a trend that I see. And it's the grace shall cover all sins, no matter what. And in a way, it's true, but not in the way that we take it or the way that the world takes it. If we fail to try and stop or to just say that grace is enough for me to keep in my sins, I can just stay in all of my sins, which is what's mainstream. It's what's talked about today. Then that shepherd, that person that's over that flock has failed. Because it's not the word of God. If he is not feeding you the word of God, then he has no right to be up here teaching you. Because the only thing that he's going to do is send you to hell. Not only will he send you to hell because he's not speaking truth, not preaching truth, but he will also be responsible for every person that he taught. Now, that's what the word of God says. That's not what I'm saying. The word of God says that he is responsible to those who are listening to him. So we need to find someone, we have someone, but we need to find someone who preaches truth, absolute truth, biblical truth. It's important in our lives, and this is the responsibility of the pastor. Jeremiah 23:1 says this, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. It is literally evil in God's eyes if we are not being fed truth. Truth, which we are being fed truth. We have one of the most awesome pastors who doesn't care what the world has to say, and he stands up to the world and he preaches directly to our hearts and the heart of the matter. We have one like that, and I want to give a hand clap of praise to for God who gave us a pastor like that. It's incredible that we have a pastor who stands up the way that he does in a world of today of political correctness. Homosexuality is a sin, but a lot of people are accepting it now in the emergent churches. You know, a sin is a sin no matter what it is. It can't be accepted in God's eyes. It's what distances ourselves. But there is grace. There is repentance. There are these things. And these are all things that our pastor preaches to help better our lives. Preachers are leaders, or shepherds are leaders. What is the quality of a leader? And it's kind of interesting as I read some of this, and Peter challenged the following elders to shepherd the flock of God among you by exercising oversight. So Peter 1, 1 Peter 5:22, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. God entrusted them with the authority and the responsibility of leading the flock, the authority and the responsibility to lead the flock, the authority to lead the flock and the responsibility to do this. This is a pastor's heart is something that is absolutely unique, to care for so many people at one time, to shepherd so many people. We have about, I would say, you know, on our best days, you know, 500 to 600 people that come through here. To shepherd that many people is a special kind of heart. To talk to that, how many people here have had personal conversations with Pastor Kyle? Personal conversations. Go do it. He has, he will give time to you. And I promise you that. He's given me plenty of his time. And it is incredible what comes out of his mouth. He talks right into our hearts, and he can minister to just about any subject that I know of, even though I'm only 28 years old, so you guys probably have different subjects. But he can minister right into my heart, and it's incredible. Please go talk to the man of God, the shepherd over your life. It's one of the best things you can do. But he exercises oversight, and he has the authority to do that, to be over our lives. Pastors are accountable for how they lead, and the flock how they follow. We are accountable for how we follow the leader, and the leader is accountable for how he leads us. But we must be good followers. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey them that have rule over you. Look at the word rule. We don't like using that word because we like to say we have freedom or independence. Spiritual leadership, if you submit yourself to a church, has rule over you. And that sounds like a terrible term. Wow, they have rule over my life. They can tell me what to do. They have this authority over my life. And that's because, you know, the word used there has been associated with like tyrants and like communists and stuff like that. The word rule here is spiritual authority. They have the ability to tell you, they can recommend to you, obviously it's your choice to do something, but it's better for you to listen to the spiritual counsel, especially in God's eyes. When spiritual rule comes over you and says, you probably shouldn't do that and this is what you should probably do, but you neglect it. You know, God puts you in that situation to test you for a reason, to see how rebellious we are within ourselves. And what happens there is the same thing that happened to Rehoboam, if we know in the Old Testament. He was the king that pretty much destroyed Israel. And the tribes were separated by Jeroboam and stuff. Why? Because he didn't listen to the elders, the people that walked with Solomon. He didn't listen to them. Even though they gave him the right counsel, they gave him everything, you know, the elders gave Rehoboam everything that he needed to hear, but he looked for counsel with his peers, people who were his age, people he grew up with, people who didn't build Israel, people who didn't suffer, people who didn't war, people who didn't do all these things that built Israel, and he was handed a kingdom, and he looked at his peers, and he did the wrong thing because he did not listen to the spiritual counsel that was given to him, and an entire nation suffered for it. Listen to your spiritual counsel. Listen to your authority. Besides teaching the flock, the exercising the oversight of the flock by this example of life, being a pastor requires getting in among the sheep. It is not leadership from above as much as it's leadership from within. In other words, just because someone is a pastor or someone is over you, that's not how they should lead. They don't lead by because I'm over you. I'm the king. I'm the authority. But they lead from within. And what does that mean? It means that they lead by the relationship they have with you, because they stand up as a good moral man with good values and Christian values, and they preach truth and they talk and they care for you. They talk to you. They care about your well-being, and this is leadership. This is the Christian way. They help you in a time of need. This church helps people in the time of need, just letting you know. They come to your house. They will feed you if you had surgery. They will give you money to help you with rent. They will do certain things if you need help, and they lead from within. This is a quality of pastors. It is not leadership from above as much as it leadership from within. An effective pastor does not herd his sheep from the rear, but he leads them from the front. They see him and emulate his actions. There's something that's actually really funny. It's a phenomenon that I see in churches, that the people will take on the personality of the preacher, of the pastor. So if the pastor is excited when he's preaching and he's talking, then usually the congregation is that way. The congregation will be clapping. The congregation will be preaching back with him. They will take on the personality of the pastor. The most important assessment of spiritual leadership is the power of his life. How does his life, how has he painted the picture of his life? When we know him and we look at him, and can we see through that? Can we see that no matter what, he is going to be the same? Has he lived a good life? Has he lived a moral life? Does he have values? Does he have these Christian things that make him a pastor? Because to be completely honest, the only way that we know that we have a great pastor is to test the scriptures to what the pastor is. That's it. It's the only way I know that he's a good pastor. Which, by the way, I read, we have a good pastor. Just saying. Amen. We do. We test it. Oh, he's back there. 1 Timothy 4:16 instructs the church leader to what? To pay close attention to yourself and to your teachings, because you're responsible for them. Preserving these things. For as you do this, you ensure salvation both for yourself and to those that hear you. That's a powerful statement, that whatever comes out of his mouth needs to be ensured. That it has to be truth, because he's not only responsible for himself, he's responsible for you. And everything that he says, whatever falls on your ears and whatever falls in your soul, it's on him. And he will be judged according to whatever he preaches. So it is a very important thing when he preaches that it has to be truth, because if it's not, he is completely held accountable for it. Shepherds are also our protectors. This is one of the things that they do that sometimes is hard for them to do, because sometimes they may lose people, sometimes, you know, it may offend somebody, but they have to protect the flock from wolves. They have to protect the flock from false doctrine. They have to protect the flock from uprisings. You see this in church history over and over and over again. And pastors have to protect them. Why? Because sheep are almost entirely defenseless. They cannot kick. They cannot scratch. They cannot bite. They jump and run. I shaved a sheep one time. It was the easiest thing I've ever done. They just, you flip them over and they take everything. They are, this is exactly how they are. They do not bite. They do not kick. They don't do anything. They let you do whatever. A matter of fact, when a predator attacks them, they huddle together. Instead of running away, they all huddle together. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And if a shepherd is not there to protect them, the predators will eat everything. And this is what a pastor does as a protector. The sheep need a protector in order to survive. Christians need similar protection from errors of those who spread false doctrine. Pastors guard their spiritual sheep from going astray and defend them against savage wolves that will ravage them. The pastor, Paul actually admonishes the pastors at Ephesus to say, to be alert and to protect them. The church is under their care. Meaning that that the pastor is responsible for your care when it comes to spiritual needs and when it comes to your life and what you're doing. David had to go out and get one sheep from what? A bear? A lion? He had to kill it, or he had to kill them, but he went for one sheep. This is something that is a quality of a pastor, that every single one of them is just as important as the person next to you, that it doesn't matter who you are. There is no respecter in persons when it comes to a pastor. You are all equally important in God's eyes, because pastors have to see you the way that God sees you, as a soul. You are just as important as the person next to you. There is no value difference. Acts 20:28 and 30 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Notice how we're always called a flock. We're always referenced as sheep. That which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter into you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. This is where we need shepherds the most. There are so many doctrines out there. And I don't like being judgmental, and I don't like saying stuff like this, but there are so many doctrines out there that aren't going to get you anywhere. And this is where a shepherd has to come in with sound doctrine, sound truth. Matter of fact, if you go to a lot of these churches and you ask them what they believe, they are all over the place. If you ask the congregation what they believe, they have Catholics, they have Protestants, they have Pentecostals, they have every single group in there, and they're speaking. I don't have a problem with that, but the problem is that they all believe in something different, and that there's not one person saying, this is right, this is right, this is right. Instead, it's a melting pot of people that half of them believe that baptism is a necessity in your walk towards salvation, and the other half saying, no, it's not. That's a church that's split, even though they go to the same church. They are not all in one accord. They are not in all one mind. They are not believing in the one same thing, the one truth and doctrine. And just because they go to church together, they don't realize that they are still split. They are not together. They are not in one accord. They are not in one mind like this church. We believe in one truth. We believe in one faith. We believe in one baptism. We believe in one Spirit, one Father of all, who is in us all and who is through us all. We believe in all of this, but when you go to it, some of these churches, it's mind-boggling about all the things that they believe. And I think it's great that they're all there and that they're all speaking amongst each other, but they don't believe in the same thing, and because of that, there's discord. And that's one thing that God hates, is discord. Shepherds are comforters. Sheep lack the self-preservation of instinct. They don't. Just watch some YouTube videos of these things. Sheep are hilarious. There's some sheep that if you scare them too hard, they freeze up and just fall over. I don't know if any of you have ever seen them. Fainting goats? Same thing. They put them in with the herd of sheep so that when a predator does come, they faint over so the predator will eat them and not the sheep. It's pretty funny. They are so humble and meek that if you mistreat them, they are easily crushed in spirit and can simply give up and die. The shepherd must know his sheep's individual temperaments and take care not of and not give more stress or excessive stress to them, but he must know them intimately. In other words, we all learn differently. We are all taught differently. We all receive correction differently. When I grew up, I was a football player. I got yelled at, cussed at. Discouragement was encouragement. I'll tell you that. Nothing was ever good enough. So when my pastor yells at me and tells me that I'm not good enough, I take it as encouragement, to be completely honest. I want to be better. I want to become better. But he can't do that with everybody, because if he did it to somebody else, they would take it to heart. It would break them. They would roll over and die. They would become offended. Everybody is different. This is something that a pastor has to possess. According to a faithful pastor, adjust his counsel to fit the needs of the person to whom he ministers. 1 Thessalonians. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort and feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. Be patient towards all men. The last thing I want to talk about, we're running out of time, is that the Revelation speaks of the pastor as an angel. Just to give you a short rundown, it talks about seven candlesticks. The candlesticks serve the church, and the pastors are the stars. And what it goes on to say there is that these stars are messengers. They're the ones who talk to you. In other words, a messenger, that the word used there was angel, the messenger. But it can also be translated as to pastor, because he is the messenger of the angel. He is the one who speaks to us. He is the one who feeds us. He's the one who protects us, just like an angel is supposed to do. He is the one who herds us together. He is the one who makes sure that we are being spiritually nourished. He is the one who tells us the truth even when we don't want to hear it, i.e., angel messenger. If we could all just stand up, and in closing, I just want to right now thank the Lord for the man of God that's in our life and everything that he has given us, and thank him for the great leadership of this church. Not every church has this. I go to a lot of churches around here. Not every church has this. So thank you, Lord, for the man of God, Pastor Kyle and his family, Pastor Sapp, Brother Luma, Brother Powell, the youth team. Thank you so much for the spiritual guidance that you have given us, these great men of God that we can look at and that we can emulate, because we believe, Lord, that they are hearing from you and that they are messengers from you. Lord, that you would anoint their minds and anoint their hearts, anoint their tongues, that whenever they speak, it is truth, Lord. And that truth would pierce our hearts, and that he would stand up and correct us, Lord, and that he would go against the ways of the world, Lord. Give him strength, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around him, ministering angels around him and his family. Oh, mighty God, we bind any demons or any dark forces that may come against his family. This is warfare. Lord, that he may protect us, that he may feed us. Oh, Lord. Lord, that he may speak to my heart, speak to my soul. Oh, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that he would raise up great men of God underneath them, that they may take over one day, Lord, and that your future would be secured by great men. Oh, mighty God, in your mighty name, we pray.
Tremendous word. Thank you, Brother Nevad. Let's take a few minutes and just shake hands and greet one another. Also, we have, probably 10, 15 minutes before we begin our main service. So just go and bless and encourage someone, greet someone in Jesus' name.